You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 236 of Well Met, Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Tuesday, July 7th of the year 2020, and it has been a while. Before I get things kicked off here, first of all, I am your host here in Kansas City, J.R. Cook, and I am joined by the crew, starting off in one place over in New Hampshire. We've got Mr. Ray C. How's it going, Ray?
Yo, it's going. We're hanging in there, you know, trying to get through each day without going crazy. So far, I would say I'm having moderate success with that.
Yeah, it's been a rough 6 weeks. I think that's the last time we did a show was 6 weeks ago.
It's been something.
Yeah. Also over in Ray's backyard, but making sure to social distance at least 6 feet away, we've got Mr. Danny Donuts. How's it going, Danny?
Who are you guys? How did I get here? What's
exactly.
going on?
Exactly.
Hey, how's it going? Nice to be back.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think we're going to get back in the groove again. But like I said, it's been, I think the last show we did was like May 27th, if I was looking at the calendar right. So it's been a little over a month, about 6 weeks. We're going to get back into doing it weekly after this show, at least for a while. Need to get back in the habit and just need to make this a routine again. Especially because
I think this is just characteristic of the Hearthstone trend of popularity, right? You have the immediate expansion come out, popularity rises. You go about 2 months and normally there's a burst of energy into the game, but due to just COVID in that situation, it wasn't able to be reinvigorated at 2 months and everything just continued falling off for a little bit.
Yeah.
And we're about to hit the roller coaster again. We're about to start going up. So I'm getting excited. My hands are up in the air. I'm ready to start going on this roller coaster.
Yeah, we've been doing a 6 month climb ready to go back downhill. That's the hope at least. But I think I owe a bit of an explanation for the last 6 weeks. A lot of this has kind of fallen on my shoulders, but I know that you guys have not really been feeling it either, I think, and probably for either the same reasons or different reasons as I have. At least you haven't been bugging me to do a show. We've talked about doing one, but we were going to do one last week, but that was technical issues that were preventing us there. I had some problems with my PC.
His PC rusted up.
Right.
From not using it enough.
Right. But after, so like I was saying, like, I think May 27th was the last show that we did. And as I was sitting there editing the video, you know, I was checking social media and the news and things like that. And I saw the video of, and this would have been the first time I had seen it. And a lot of people had probably seen it around the first time right then. I saw the video of George Floyd, and that just made me, like, I'm still shaking. Like, right now, even talking, I'm shaking. Like, that, like, I don't even know what to say. Like, I just felt sick. And I think it's important for me to at least, like, mention that's been part of the reason, probably a big part of the reason, that I just haven't felt up to speed on doing a show in the last month. I think it's important, at least for me, to say Black Lives Matter. And that's an important movement, and we need to do something to fix this system. And I don't want to dive too deep into it. If you guys have anything you want to say on this subject alone, you can. But I just wanted to at least get that out there at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, I posted quite a bit on it on Twitter and stuff like that. But we didn't do the podcast, obviously. I never, like, stated my views here or anything like that. And it's crazy to me that it's a thing that people have any type of controversy over at all. Like, it's just common human decency, I think, to support the move, that movement. It's like,
well, I think the issue is the media portrayal of certain things, and certain people, like, niceness to all is what more or less you need to think about. You need to think about certain people are down right now. You need to go through and help them out. So, but the issue is that just the way that we are in our media world, people are always being blasted with tons of information from the left, from the right, from all of this stuff all over the place. And some people get overwhelmed. They get in their echo chambers. And I think that the media really caused a lot of this because, hey, there are great people in all places, but you just got to work to make everyone better. That's more or less what you got to do.
Yeah. I mean, we live in an area that's like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of people are uneducated on things like that. Like, this is an area where, like, it's predominantly, I would say, white people. And I've had to, like, check some family members on Facebook and stuff like that, because they just say things that just are so incorrect. And I don't know, to me, they're like, it's so clear that they have no idea what's actually going on. Like, they don't think that, like, that's a thing that's happening. Or, like, they'll say stuff like, oh, but all lives matter. I don't understand why people are saying this. Don't all, like, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. And it's just like, okay, they clearly understand nothing about what is happening because they're in their own little bubble in, like, the middle of nowhere, New Hampshire. So it's so far removed from them that they can't imagine that it's, like, an actual thing that's happening or that exists, because it's just, there's the privilege is just, like, making them so far removed from that, like, world.
Yeah. I mean, even for us, right? We're three white guys.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
And it's just, I think the most important thing to me that I've learned in the last month, there's a lot of stuff that I've learned. Like, there's stuff that I didn't even know about that they didn't teach in history in school. And I'm just like, wow, okay, this is, I'm 41 years old, and this is the first time I've heard this. Got it. I think it's just important to listen. And I think that, and listen and better yourselves. That's like the most important thing.
That's one of the things that I always go into any conversation with someone. Yeah, you got to treat every single person you meet and you talk with, even online, like they know something that you don't. So you're going to try to learn as much as you can from them.
Right.
And I think that is the mindset where, especially if you go into discussions with people, and a lot of the things that get very heated are more or less because two people are talking past each other. So a lot of times you got to find the solid ground. You got to find the common ground, between people. And then from there, figure out where you differ on things. And I find when you have conversations like that, it's much more calm and you don't have as much anger and violence as we've been seeing just throughout the world right now. So I think that just good communication is key.
Right. But that leads, unless there was anything else you guys wanted to talk about on this subject, it kind of leads me to something else that's sort of related to this a bit, to this conversation. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, no, I was just going to say to go to whatever you were going to say.
Danny, you were talking about this a little bit, about media, the whole 24/7 media, and, always there's always one side or the other. You're either with us or against us, right? No matter what side of the coin that you're on. And that's been something that, in my opinion, the world, the U.S. and the world has kind of started going down for... I want to say, like, this started before 9/11, but I feel like it really started taking off around 9/11. I know I'm quite a bit older than you guys. I don't know how much you remember about that time. I would have been college age when that happened.
I was in elementary school, so yeah. I remember it, but I don't remember. A lot of things are vague around it. Like, I don't remember, like, the moment that I was there. I remember all of the aftermath. All of right. The way that the world was like at that point.
Like, for me growing up, it was like you'd always have moments in history, like where things would take the 24-hour media. And it was usually things like the Berlin Wall falling, Tiananmen Square, the LA riots, some of those big moments in history of things like that, where the Gulf War. There'd be moments where you would see that on, like, the main networks and stuff. And then when we started getting into cable news and the 24/7 news cycle. That really started hitting the mid to late 90s. But I feel like after 9/11 happened, it was, they figured out how to monetize it, right? And they figured out how to make it so that you have one side versus another, and one side's going to get, you know, X amount of people, the other side's going to get X amount of people, and they're going to hook them on that channel forever, basically. Or, you know, that's kind of how our media has kind of played out in the last 20 years, in my opinion.
And I mean, it's only been amplified right now by the growth of the internet and the death of print.
Yep.
So not it's not really the death of print, but like newspapers and televisions are much less of the primary source of people's news now. Now they get it from the internet. So now it turns everything into, you need to be the person who catches everyone's attention. So the big thing is, like, no one's going to tell you the story about if a dog bites a man, but everyone's going to tell you the story if a man bites a dog, right? The crazy, ridiculous story that happens one in a million is the one that's going to be the headline news. But whereas all the good deeds and all the good actions that you, that is much more of the population, you don't see that every day. You don't see the news story about the guy who held open the door for the old lady walking through, or the guy who did all of these like good deeds. You don't see those stories. So right. It's just general negative news. And I don't think that we were designed to be barraged with all of that type of news. So I think that at this point, this is going to be a skill that people need to start learning, how to moderate their news and all of that. And that's something that's very difficult with everything interconnected.
Yeah. Yeah. And this was the point I was going to bring up, was then there was a shift, I would say, between 5 to 10 years ago now, because now you're starting to approach social media with having mass adoption. And in the last 5 to 10 years now, like, I feel like, especially in the last 5 years, at least, that feels like it's amplified so much that is now your 24/7 news. And it's absurd, like, how, like, everybody that you followed, and you're like, man, I really like this person. I think they're cool. I want to follow them. All of them became news outlets. Like, almost every single one of them have become news outlets in the last 5 years. And it finally, like, nearly broke me this last month, where I had to go and I'm just like, I have to take a break from social media. I deleted all the apps. I blocked it from my PC for like a week and a half, and wanted to see how I felt afterwards. I'm like, man, I feel really good after this. But the problem is, I still need social media to connect to some people. And that's the double-edged sword. So I'm trying to figure out right now on how to mitigate that 24/7 news cycle that is always negative, it feels like. I did it last year or the year before. It was one or the two where I'm just like, I just stopped going to Reddit all the time. I go there every once in a while, and even when I do that, there's only a handful of subreddits that I visit. I don't even visit the Hearthstone subreddit anymore, and I haven't for a long time. I usually just stick to the local sports teams for the most part. And I'm getting to the point where I had to finally unfollow almost everybody from Twitter. And
surprised I'm still on that list.
You two are still on that list. Because I felt bad if I would have unfollowed you.
What?
It's like, it was really affecting my mental health. Like, truly, like, I was just always grumpy, always upset. And I'm like, I just gotta fix this, because nothing positive is going on in my life right now, and this is just making it worse.
I've actually talked to a few people. Even Dr. J deleted Twitter off of his phone and stuff. Like, he'll use it occasionally, like, on the desktop, just to, like, keep up with, like, things that are important, but it's really addicting to just be able to open up your phone, like, open up Twitter and just, like, scroll through for a minute when you're just kind of doing nothing.
Right.
And I feel like that is dangerous for a lot of people.
I honestly think Twitter is one of the most dangerous social media sites due to the limited number of characters that you can put in, because one of the biggest things about all of this news cycle and all this stuff is the absolutes. And Twitter having that like that maximum requirement of 140 characters, there is a very hard way to put new, it's almost impossible to put any nuance in any of your posts. So everything comes across because you're reading this, right? So you're not going to hear someone's inflection. You're not going to go through, like, if I'm talking face to face with someone, they're going to be able, like, there's so much information in just the word itself, just spoken word. So the difference between that and 140 characters, there's zero nuance. It's very this or that. There's no in between. There's no deviance. There's nothing like that. And I mean, only Sith deal in absolute. Like, you don't, there's, I mean, that's what George Lucas said that in Star Wars. But I mean, I think it's a fair thing that you want to look at, especially with a lot of these news things where you have a limited number of characters to pique someone's interest. It's going to be the most extreme thing. And it's going to be one way or the other.
Mm. I think it also encourages like clickbait to some degree, like things that are going to get eyeballs to pay attention to it, which is usually going to be. No, I don't know if it's, I would say it's usually going to be controversial, but like, it'll be very, like you said, not nuanced, and it'll just be like the most clickbaity that it could be, I guess, with the limited characters.
Well, I mean, they also did a study, I think this was the middling days of Facebook. So, I mean, Facebook being relatively old now, but when Facebook was in its prime, they did a study. And they essentially saw that posts that were more controversial were the ones that got the most interactions because people were shocked at them, or they, like, all of the arguments were happening in comments, where something that was more widely agreed upon by people, just by general people, was not paid as much attention to, not as many likes, not as many clicks, because people just brushed it off and just continued going. So that's another thing that you gotta look at. The things that have a lot of popularity are going to be the things that are especially charged. So, I mean, that's another thing you want to look at with regards to social media. Yeah. So the things that you're seeing are the thing, especially the ones that are really big, are like, one of the things is that vengeance is very big on social media. You want to get someone, you want to be the person who gets someone down and get all that stuff, kick them while they're down. And that's never a good thing. You got to be looking positive at this. But due to just the world that we're in, that's one unfortunate side effect of this type of communication.
Man, we went from Farmville to politics being like, I don't know. I just remember like back in the day when I first made a Facebook, like probably around when it was new, it was like the only things I would see were like people playing things like Farmville or like those little games. And like, there'd be like all these different like meme pages and just like more innocent things. Like, it was never, there wasn't really much controversy and there wasn't as much news. It was a bunch of just random things, but I was also probably a kid like back then, so it was probably a bit different from me than somebody who might have been an adult. But
no, from my point of view, you're right. Even, you know, I would have been out of college when I first had a Facebook account in the early days. I would have just been out of college, and I feel the same. So I don't
think. Well, you also have to look at the demographic that was using that at the time, right? You're not going to have the 40, 50 year olds at that point making Facebook accounts. That was the internet and technology was a young person's tool initially, just because of young people typically being early adapters. So, I mean, and then as it became more common and everyone got on it, it became more like the real world around everyone.
And people figured out, and people started figuring out how to manipulate it.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the big things is, once it became popular, it's, okay, how can I manipulate this to get eyes on my stuff or on this thing? And how can I manipulate that? And that's always been one of the downfalls, I feel, of current social media. And you can just look at the controversies from the 2016 election, right? And everything that was going on there is, you can't, like, how... There are countries investing themselves on how to manipulate social media, and they can have good or a lot of times bad reasonings to do that.
Well, I mean, everyone's doing it. That's the big thing that you gotta recognize. Everyone's.
Yes. It's also like, when I think about content as a whole, I feel like towards the beginning of things like YouTube and Facebook, like everybody was making their own original content. Whereas now I find myself seeing most of the content being people talking about other things. Like people aren't making original content as much anymore because I feel like it's way easier for me to talk about something else that happened than to like make something that's completely new and original. I don't know.
I think at this point, that's due to the amount of information there is now. Back then, early on, like everyone saw that one cool video that everyone put out. And nowadays it's like, if you see someone react to something, odds are it's going to be the first time you're seeing that thing that they're reacting to as well. So you'll see, like, I mean, that I think that's the primary reason why people watch a lot of react videos now, because they may not have seen the content where they go through, they see something, they compare what their reactions are compared to the person that they're watching react to it. That's just another level of nuance into it, becomes meta upon itself.
Yeah, I feel like I just don't see as much. I don't know. I just remember back in the day, like College Humor, Smosh, like all these things that were like more upbeat and like were more original. Like those, that kind of stuff is like becoming more uncommon. And like those outlets have now turned into news outlets, like you said, a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird, but is a thing.
Yeah. That's been the biggest thing for me in the last month is just trying to find. Like, and then you add this with the whole pandemic stuff, the fact that, like, my job, like, I took, like, a 10% pay cut recently because of all this stuff. I've lost a lot of coworkers who got furloughed and then eventually laid off, and then feeling the guilt that I'm one of the ones that didn't get the cut, right, that didn't get cut. Because there's definitely guilt associated with that, you know, some of your friends that you've been working with for the last 7 years no longer have a job, but you do, right? It's like, there's a lot of guilt with that. Add in with, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement, seeing, you know, Black people get killed by, you know, cops on the street, watching peaceful protesters get lambasted by cops. Then the 24/7 news cycle on Twitter, where if you don't have the same opinion as someone else, you are worthless. And it makes you feel worthless. And just all of that just compounds to just, it's just not, it just has not been healthy this year. All things just has not been healthy.
It's so weird though, 'cause it's like it, even like that logic even applies to family. Like I've been like having to be like, yo, like you should not be posting this stuff, Bob. Like this right. is like, but she doesn't know it's not okay, because when they hear things like All Lives Matter, or like something like that, like they don't think of it, or at least my mom didn't think of it in the context of like why people are saying that. You know right. what I mean? Like why it's a bad thing to right. say that.
And then instead of explaining it, it's calmly, and you know, maybe giving them some reasons why, you'll instead say, oh, you're just being a racist, and then that doesn't solve anything. You're not helping them understand.
Talking past each other, yeah,
right. You're so not helping them understand.
That's the main thing, yeah.
At the same time, if you do help them understand, they might also get very defensive, and then that just starts a whole argument as well.
Well, also because they don't realize you're being nice as a part of that due to the lack of tone on the internet. You're going through if you say something and you think that you're saying something nice, like this is one of the hardest things I have at work, where I'm sending an email to someone and I'm like, oh, this is exactly what I mean. And then I realize, oh, wait, this could be interpreted in a completely different manner. So, I mean, that's one of the hardships about working from home, where you got to make sure that you're incredibly specific on certain communications. Communications in person is much better. That's what I mean. I'm just dealing with a lot of work stuff recently, so that's been on my mind.
Yeah. So all of that, and then there's been stuff going on in the Hearthstone world recently. There's been stuff going on in the esports world recently. It's been a rough 6 weeks. It's been a rough year. And all that said, I want to make sure that everybody knows, like, I'm doing okay. like as okay as one can be in a situation like this. It's just that I'm taking notice of things that I need to fix, things that I need to remove from my life. Need to focus on the things that make me happy, things that make me excited for the next day. And lately, there just hasn't been a lot of that. And I need to find that balance, right? So
It's all about learning from your experiences. I mean, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger in many senses in this current sense. So like COVID, but in the sense where if you go through, you learn from these experiences and you recognize, hey, maybe I should lay off the social media. Like taking the cleanse that you did was a very smart move, and I bet that helped you out a lot.
It has helped me out a ton.
So, I mean, that's one thing you got to start. I mean, if you can't regulate that stuff yourself, making a hard stop and just taking a break from things is always acceptable. It's always acceptable to take it back and say, hey, this is a little bit too much for me. I'm going to take a step back. I'm going to go do that. And that's what we've done here. And I think that it's going to allow us to produce better content in the future because we can be more precise and critical about things.
And I'm saying all this from my perspective, and I have a feeling that a lot of our listeners are kind of feeling similar things or are going through other things that are at least somewhat similar. And it's just because the world we're in is just right now is just in a very negative place in general. And I feel like if you're struggling with some of this, and maybe you're struggling with even more than that, find me on Twitter. And tweet at me, email me at wellmet@blisspro.com, or contact any of us. Come on to our Discord and come hang out with us for a bit, or find me on Discord. Eldorian 2174 is my Discord name, and reach out and let's have a conversation, right?
Yeah.
Because if you're feeling down and you don't feel like you have anybody to turn to, I'm 100% willing to have a conversation and chat with you. And yeah. I feel like we're all in this.
Yeah, I'm in agreement on that one.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's the one positive thing about like the social media aspect is for me, I've been trying my best to really curate, I guess, what I'm looking at a lot of the time, where I'm using social media mainly to interact with like the positive parts of the communities that I'm in, like the people who watch my stream, stuff like that. Like, and also at some points streaming has almost been like a therapy session on some level, as weird as that sounds, where it's just like I will talk about stuff that's going on and like just be like, this is a lot. Especially like last week, man, last week was intense, and people still want to see you stream and stuff. Like I took a couple of days off like when I got the news of my friend, which we'll probably talk about in a bit.
We can talk about right now. That's what I was segueing into.
Okay, so Reckful or Byron, who was actually one of my first friends in esports, I knew him before I got good at Hearthstone. He passed away last week. He committed suicide, and he was a pretty big personality in, I would say, streaming culture in general, esports. World of Warcraft is where he started. He played Hearthstone for a while. He just had a really big community, and I met him. I was working for Amazon Games, and they flew me out to TwitchCon in like 2015. So I was playing Hearthstone at that point, but I wasn't like, I don't know, I wasn't like on a team or anything like that at that point. I was waiting in the hotel lobby. I was waiting for one of the people I was there with. And Rexel was also waiting for somebody. And then he just started talking to me about like what I was doing. Because I think I had like something like Amazon Games related or whatever. I was like, I'm here helping them with a game or something like that. And I got connected through it because one of the people who was running it was like originally at Pokemon. That stuff doesn't matter. But either way, I started talking to him. We talked for like probably an hour or two, and then we were just like, it wasn't anything like important that I was like waiting for this person for. And Rekfo was just like waiting for a girl in the lobby, and they were both taking forever. Literally, like, they were both, like, super late. So we just got breakfast together. And he paid for everything. And it was, like, super weird to meet somebody like that, because it was, like, we just kind of clicked. Like, we talked for, like, 2 or 3 hours about, like, everything. Like, life, whatever. It was really weird, because it's, like, usually you don't just, like, get into that stuff, you know? Like, that's just such a weird way to meet someone. It was super weird. But he followed me on Twitter that day, and then he kept in touch, and, like, we pretty much checked in on each other, like, probably once every month or every few months. Saw him a few times after that. Was like, he helped me get into, like, Seed Story Cup a long time ago, stuff like that. So it was a very big shock to me, because I had talked to him, like, I guess at this point it's almost a month ago now, and I was talking to him like 3 months ago. And when we talk, it's like, we don't talk about Hearthstone. Like, that's, like, irrelevant. He doesn't play Hearthstone anymore. I'm like, he's like, he'll ask me, like, how's my health doing and stuff like that, or, like, he'll post something crazy on Twitter, and I'll be like, yo, what's up, are you good? And, like, 3 months ago when I asked him, like, how he was doing, he was just like, I'm just, like, struggling. Like, he was very self-aware that he had mental health issues, and he's very open about it. Like, he did therapy sessions on stream, which I think was good for, like, mental health as a whole, to, like, try to normalize it. But I think ultimately that kind of stuff might have been bad, because you kind of put a lot of weight into, like, what random people on the internet think. Like, I feel like he always tried to, like, make people happier, or, like, please people. Like, he was very good at, like, making other people happy, and, like, providing positive content for other people, even if it's just, like, in the sense of, like, you're his friend and he's, like, making you feel better kind of thing. But he wasn't able to do that for himself. So it was, and he was super self-aware. So it was just, like, super sad. And, like, it sounded like he was on a good path, in the sense that he knew what was wrong and he knew he needed help, and he tried to get that help to some degree, and just was unable to do it, to a point where, with all this COVID stuff and the social isolation, it probably just brought him to a breaking point. Despite actively trying to get help, it was just not enough. Like, his actions were planned. It wasn't like he was on something. Like, he was completely sober. Like, everything was, like, it was something that had been thought about and was something that, like, he wanted to try to get help for, like, and he just couldn't. So it was just, like, super sad, because, like, when you talk to somebody and they're like, yeah, I'm going to therapy, like, I'm doing XYZ to try to help, you're like, you're like, oh, okay, that's really good. Like, okay, you know, like, you're saying some weird stuff that is, like, kind of, like, concerning, but, like, when I reach out, like, you're aware, like, okay, I have these issues, here's what I'm doing to help myself, and then you kind of feel more comfortable. But then, like, now, I mean, whether or not we realize it now or whether or not we always knew it, like, it just wasn't enough, or he just wasn't able to do something that actually felt to him like it was making him happier or less miserable. So it was, all of it is just surreal to me. Like, the fact that, like, I won't be able to reach out to, like, I won't ever get a message back, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's just weird. It's still something that's weird to me.
Yeah.
So it's just like, I don't know. I don't know how to react to this stuff. I really don't. Like everything. And then compound that with, like, obviously the quarantine, with the, like, everything else that's just going on in the world. It's just like, I don't know how to handle any of it, or, like, react to it. Like, it's just kind of all surreal to me.
I don't think anybody really knows how to handle that, to be honest. Maybe some people do. I don't know.
I mean, no one's been through this in their lives before. No one who's currently alive was alive during the last pandemic that we had, like, the right. major pandemic. So I think that we're all, I mean, we can learn from history and all of that stuff, but physically living through it is a whole different experience. And I mean, I think that with advances that we have, and we're doing relatively well, if we didn't have all the technology that we had, like, this pandemic would have killed a ton more people. And I think that one of the aspects that now we like more like in prior decades, centuries ago, when this would happen, a quarter of the population would die. Now we have to realize that we're doing really well on the medical end. We got to focus more on the mental end as well, where if we hit a rough patch as just people, figuring out how to deal with mental issues as well is something very important.
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking more. I agree, Danny, none of us know how to deal with this pandemic. This is all something new to all of us in the last 6 months. But I was talking more of dealing with a friend who's taking their life, right? Or a family member who's taking their life, or even a family member who's going through depression and things like that. I honestly have no idea how to handle anything like that. When I was college age, I want to say it was around 2002, 2003. My dad tried committing suicide. And I didn't know how to react back then. My sister, deals with some really big depression. And just a couple months ago, she had made a message on Facebook that she was basically going to kill herself. And, it had the whole family freaked out and trying to get in contact with her. And she's still having issues trying to find the help that she needs. And it's just, and I don't know, I'm with you, Ray. I don't know how to deal with that stuff. I don't know how to react. And it's not so much deal. I don't know how to react to that stuff. Other than I'm here if you need to talk. But if they get to the point where they do, take their own lives in the aftermath of that, I don't know how to, I had a classmate that committed suicide when I was in high school. And I have no idea, I still think about that, and I have no idea how to, I just felt like there was nothing I could do, right? Because there wasn't. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, most likely there's never anything you can really do unless you're, close to them physically, in the sense that, you can go, and I mean, I wouldn't even be able to do that because of the pandemic. I'm at high risk or whatever, but, outside of a pandemic situation, you can drive to their place and make sure they're okay. Outside of that, there's only so much you can do. I did reach out, and I do that for multiple people. If I see something funky on Twitter or whatever, something that's very obviously I don't know if a plea for help is the right word or the right phrase, but something that something's off,
right.
They would not say this. This is very out of character. I'm gonna reach out to them and make sure they're doing all right. I try to do that for any friend if I see that. But outside of that, you can't really do anything unless you're physically able to be there and ground them.
Right. Because
a lot of the time, I feel like people just don't have the energy to even talk over social media at that point.
Right.
So there's not really anything you can do, and it's it just feels weird.
But we also live in a society that, at least growing up, especially, has been very, we don't talk about our emotions, or at least, we don't bother people with our problems, right? And I think that can have the opposite effect of what we want a lot of times, because, then you feel ashamed to go bother someone, because that's what you're thinking. You're not thinking that this person is more than happy to listen to you. You're thinking in your head that, oh, I'm just bothering this person with my problems. They have enough problems of their own. They don't need to think about mine, right? And that shouldn't be what you need to think about, right? And that person is more than happy, usually, listen to you, especially if they're a loved one.
Yeah, I am lucky in some degree that I have the opposite mentality to some degree, because my friends or even people from my stream and stuff are generally very supportive, I would say. I had a bunch of people reach out to me just about health stuff over the last couple months and just checking up, all that kind of stuff. And I don't feel like I'm burdening them with my problems or talking or whatever it is. But it is weird though sometimes when like you try to search for someone to talk to, like I've tried to like talk to my mom and be like, because she was concerned because I was like kind of just depressed for like a couple weeks, and to the point where I wasn't really doing that much outside of like the necessary things that you have to do, obviously, just like brush your teeth, take care of your, like, you know what I mean, like the essential right. stuff. And she was like worried that it was my heart thing, so like I went to Boston this morning. I have a point to get tested for COVID. I have an appointment in a couple days for like more testing because my mom was like worried that it was my heart. I tried to tell her like I think I'm just like super depressed, and she's like no, it's probably your heart or something. Or like she'd be like, okay, so why don't you just get up and do stuff then? And I'm just like, well,
that's not how it works, right?
Yeah. She's like, well, you're not doing enough then to get yourself out of it. Like, why don't you go like make more appointments at your therapist or something? Like, why don't you just go out for a walk then? And I'm just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I just didn't have that energy. Like, I just didn't have that mode. I had no motivation to do that stuff. It's right. not, it's like her saying, go do this is not going to somehow give me magical motivation to then go do it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's weird when you do go to like your family or something and they just don't get it. But like these random people on the internet do, even though they're not random, but like, you know what I mean?
Right. So with everything that happened there, like, how are you doing right now, Ray?
I am slowly going back uphill, I guess, or at least as much as you can be.
Yeah.
When
I heard that news, I was completely shocked. Keep in mind, I didn't hardly know anything about Wreckful other than he was a streamer, other than I knew that he did some Hearthstone stuff for a while, and things like that. I don't watch a lot of live streams anyway, so I didn't know too much about him. But I knew that he was a big influencer in the Blizzard community, and then you were telling me that you were friends with him, and I'm just like, man, that's just, it's rough.
Yeah.
And then also we just lost someone else, Haster, who does a WoW podcast. He's been in the Blizzard podcast community for longer than I have, and he's been at he's done a lot of World of Warcraft podcasts and things like that in the World of Warcraft community. He passed away just a few days ago from COVID-19, and so that was another hit to that community as well.
Jeez.
Yeah. So there's been a lot of loss lately, and there's gonna be more, unfortunately. So best we can do, in my opinion, is going back to what I was saying towards the beginning of the show. I'm here to listen, no matter what it is. I'm here to listen with an open mind. And take care of yourselves and take care of your family, because your health, both physical and mental, is the most important thing you can have.
Yeah, I would just say the one thing that we should all take away from this situation, or at least the one thing that I took away from this situation, was to just try to be nicer to everyone and like make sure that everybody's okay. Like, I feel like that whole situation kind of grounded me. Like, I was still like reeling a bit from like a breakup and like all these other things that now, once that happened, seem so irrelevant almost, even though like it's not irrelevant, but like it just feels like the things that I was worrying about prior to that day just felt like, oh, okay, this is this is way more of a grounding moment for everyone. Like, we need to just treat each other better, like, and try to live life for the people that really can't
yeah.
be happy or can't find themselves able to enjoy life in any capacity. It's like very sad. And once that happened, I was like he, on paper, Wreckful had everything, right? Like, he had money, he had friends, he had a successful career. Like, none of it mattered at the right. end of the day. Like, anything that mattered, like, in like theoretically matters on paper, that would make you happier, right? Like none of that actually mattered. And it's like, you have to appreciate the times where like you are enjoying life, like where you can be happy. And I don't know.
Yeah.
I just feel like it grounds you and makes you appreciate like the little things more.
Yeah. I mean, look at Robin Williams.
Yeah.
He had everything, right? He had everything except for his health. That's what he was missing.
Yeah. It's I don't know. I don't know a better word other than grounding. Like what you trying to appreciate what you do have and kind of cherish it and make sure that the people that you care about are also just doing okay.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to put a warning at the beginning of this show. This is kind of a downer of an episode. There's a lot of heavy stuff. Are you guys ready to change it up just a little bit? Maybe end on a happier note? I think I am.
Sure.
Or did you have more you wanted to talk about there?
I mean, the only other thing that we didn't touch on is like all the allegations of things that have happened in the community.
Right.
I don't know if you wanted to touch on that kind of stuff at all or just...
So I will be honest about that where I don't know. I'm not quite up to speed on everything in that department. Other than there are some shitty human beings out there, that are doing things to women or to people in general. It doesn't have to be just women, right? It's just most of it tends to be. And I would just go on to say that, you know, don't be that person. Don't try to take advantage of another person for sexual gain.
Yeah, don't be shitty. Just don't be shitty. Everybody knows what like how they should be behaving, I would like to imagine. So just like be a good role model if you're be somebody that you'd be proud of being. Don't be shitty. Yeah.
I don't know what else to say. Like my problem is I've only read a handful of the things that have happened, so I don't feel like I can be someone that can talk about it other than what I just said.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think that's good.
Okay. Danny, do you have anything you want to add to any of this? Or are you ready to move on as well?
I think that you guys were pretty concise in what you covered there. Right. I don't think I would be able to add much.
Fair enough. Okay. So let's end this on a little bit of a happier note. This is a Hearthstone podcast. We just felt like there was a lot of stuff that we need to get off our chest for, you know, our last 6 weeks, and none of it was really Hearthstone related. It was just all life related, and that's kind of the show you got. But we do have some Hearthstone stuff that we kind of wanted to talk about a little bit. I'm gonna start with Danny because Danny, there's some stuff going on in Wild that that you wanted to talk about. I think.
Yeah. This is probably. I mean, I'm not sure when this episode's gonna go out, but this is probably
tomorrow.
Like, okay, so this is for you now. It's going to be 72 hours since this deck was, like, I don't want to say found, but refined, because there's a deck that came out earlier on in this expansion, maybe even a couple expansions before, where you would play Linecracker Druid, you'd hit Linecracker Druid with bees, and then you would put on the Earthern Scales and then just gain a crap ton of armor. I'm talking thousands of armor. Now, this was a meme combo deck, but the list got incredibly refined, and it's using the same shell that, like, a Malagos list uses. But then when people thought about this, just because you're cycling through your deck so quickly with, like, Fungal Fortunes and other cards like that, the deck has been just so quick right now that the deck has actually become a meta, which is absurd. So one of the ways you lose a game now is if they combo off and they just get 24 or 28K armor and they literally just hit the end turn button until the end of the game. So, I mean, it's not like an OTK where, like, it's kind of like in Magic if you ever get infinite life.
Right.
Where unless your opponent's playing Mechathune, you just essentially lose the game. But the issue about this right now is that, like I said, this is relatively new, so people haven't experienced it. So if you're, like, playing against a Control Warrior, the Control Warrior matchup, if they have, like, the Baku hero power, they're going to go to fatigue. So, and I mean, it's solid. There's no way, unless you're playing a hate card or if you kill them before they reach their combo right now, that you're going to outpace this. So right now you'll see the Control Warrior mirror where you're literally just hitting the end turn button over and over and over and over again. And the like, just the length of the games on ladder in this recent period, at least for the foreseeable future, is going to be a lot longer due to this deck. But it's funny where no meme Plate Breaker is now being considered as a top card in like top legend. But I mean, already it's being phased out because Skulking Geist is probably a little bit better because you kill the Earthen Scales and your opponent just can't gain armor. So, and that has a little bit more utility, but it comes down a turn later. So that's the give and take. But Plate Breaker is now being seen as like not just a, oh, I'm going to try to counter Control Warrior, or I'm going to stream snipe someone. It's like, this is the tech card to be running based on the meta, which is insane. I never thought that would be a thing.
So this is basically, I just armor up as far as humanly possible, basically. And yeah. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go do the dishes now. And when I come back, I'm sure the game is over.
Yeah, I mean, even if you, I mean, so that's the issue, right? Where you're roping, like that's the degenerate part of the game. Because obviously, if you're roping, you're wasting people's time. That's not a good way to do that. You're not like playing an active game. But as soon as you hit the combo, you go off. It's kind of like an OTK, like a Maligos OTK. You kill your opponent, but instead of you killing them, you just can never be.
All right. Or you end up going into tie if it's like some kind of a mirror match. And
the mirror match is ridiculous.
And you go to, what is it, 50 turns or something like that. Is when the game ends in the tie.
The mirror match is actually pretty funny. And I mean, it turns out that people are running two copies of Linecracker now for the mirror, so that you use one of them, you gain all of the armor, and then you use your other Linecracker to try to like make that one just like the large attack, make them use all their removal spells on your little cheap stuff, and then hit them for like 3,000.
Oh, okay.
Damn it. So, I mean, that's what, I mean, there's a little bit more interplay in the mirror that people haven't realized yet because it's a new deck. But I mean, this is the bleeding part of the meta. And honestly, I think that as a deck itself, I don't think this can be degenerate, something like Cyclone Mage, because it has built in like counters. If you don't like playing against this deck, just tech in the, like, you can put in two Plate Breakers, two Skulking Geists, and you will win the matchup almost every time. But if you, the issue is that the deck, if you're not teched against it, will just go on forever if you don't just immediately concede. And the time aspect is the part of the, is the part that's just bad. It's kind of like when you used to play Control Warrior, like Control Warrior, whenever it would go on to like a tournament scene and Control Warrior was dominant in the meta, people didn't like Control Warrior because every single round was delayed by the Control Warrior.
Right.
You know exactly what I'm talking about there. And I don't think it's because Control Warrior was a bad deck. It was just because it took forever. And that's why people were going to like it. So that's what I foresee happening with Wild, at least in the near future. But who knows what's to come.
Yeah. Yep. That sounds stupid.
Yeah. I'm not laddering anytime soon.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that.
Beyond that, like, we should be hearing a new expansion here pretty soon. It's getting to be that time. I was looking at some past announcements from previous years. It was usually the first week, second week of July is when we would get the announcement. Last year was on July 1st. I would imagine we probably don't hear anything this week with it being right after the holiday. And if it was, I feel like we would have heard about it already today. Because I feel like Tuesday is kind of when they drop that. Maybe we'll hear about it Thursday. Who knows? But I would imagine
it should come out immediately as we post this.
Probably. I feel like whenever they have that kind of announcement, though, they give us a heads up. So maybe if they have the announcement next week, we'll hear something by the end of this week that, hey, there's a live stream next week. You might want to come check it out.
The announcement of the announcement.
The announcement of the announcement. Maybe we'll hear the announcement of the announcement this week.
Classic.
Yeah. But I would imagine sometime next week, maybe a week after that, I would imagine sometime in August, we'll probably have the expansion or the end of this month even. And do you guys have any thoughts on what it could be? Let's say we get the announcement of the announcement tomorrow, and let's say we get it announced Thursday in 2 days or sometime next week. Do you want to make any predictions?
I honestly have no idea. I just want new stuff. I don't care what it is. I have no idea what it's going to be. I don't care. I just want new things. I don't care what it is. I just want it to be here already. I'm bored. So bored of this meta.
Danny, what about you?
I mean, I'm in a similar boat on that where, I mean, I think that I may have spoiled myself a little bit because I've just recently got into playing Commander online with people on Cockatrice. So
okay.
So in Magic, you could literally do anything. So That's one of the things that I would like to see, especially with the wild format. I want to see something that adds a layer of complexity. I want to have something where, I mean, I don't want to say that Hearthstone is on a lower complexity level compared to something like Magic, and I've been just very invigorated by that game recently. But the thing that I think that I would like to see is something that adds another aspect to the game. If they add a new mechanic where, I mean, like Discover was a game-breaking mechanic. I want to see something that changes the way that I want to play the game, where I want to go through and adjust how my play style is. I don't want to just go through, oh, here's the best card of the set. I'm going to slot it into my old Reno Priest list or my old list here. I want to have a lot of different deck building conundrums where I want to try all these new cool things out. That's where I want to go. I don't have a specific mechanic in mind, but that's what I'm trying to get out of this next experience.
All right. Any thoughts on what the theme might be?
Do we have the spoilers from the like the picture of like the circles? Do we have any premonitions on what that is?
Yeah, there was something like that. Let's see if I can bring it up real quick. If you guys can talk for a minute here, maybe give some thoughts and ideas. I'll see if I can find it for us.
We already had dragons, right?
Yeah.
So, well, it's the year of the dragon, right?
That's true. Are we going to have more dragons, though, I guess is the question.
I wouldn't mind a couple more.
Last set, what did we have? We had Demon Hunter, but that wasn't really part of the set, was it? I guess it kind of was, but like we did have a demon theme. A lot of the, imprisoned cards were demons as well.
All right.
So I guess last set, I would say, was pretty demon-themed.
Do we want to bring back pirates, make it a pirate set?
I don't know, because we had a lot of pirates last set too, right? Like, we had a pirate sub-theme too. We had, like, Risky Skipper, stuff like that. That was last set, right?
Yeah, that was last set. Maybe they go through, and that's one of the things that they also do, and I mean, the thing I always reference is the gadgets and... What's the 2/3 that cost 2 that on combo it bounces something back to your hand? It's gadgets and ferryman. Where that card was put in and it was absolute garbage. And then immediately the set after, the Caverns Below Rogue Quest came out, and all of a sudden it was one of the stronger cards in the deck. So I like when they do that, where they sprinkle a little bit of stuff in beforehand, and then they overwhelm you with it on the next one. Because I don't think that there were that many pirates. It was only in Warrior, right? Where you got Ankar, you got Risky Skipper, and you got the Cannon. And those were the main ones that were added. Like, those are, I mean... there's probably a couple other ones that are bad that I just don't know bad.
There was like a rogue one, the 4/4 bouncy man.
Yeah.
I think that was maybe one. I don't know. There was a couple probably, but not notable.
Right.
I don't know. I don't see them making pirates because I feel like pirates are already like warriors is already the best. I don't see them making it even better than the best. I would like
Demon Hunter's just going to get better. I can't wait to see what they do with set 2 of Demon Hunter because there's so much unexplored ground in that class.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I could see them going back to doing more dragon-based stuff, but I'd be a bit surprised to see that. Maybe we go back to mechs or something. I don't know. I feel like we haven't really had mechs or anything in a while. Maybe...
a new class, maybe? A new...
another one.
Kobolds.
Oh, I don't see...
like... Elementals? Elementals?
Elementals would be interesting. That's a really good one.
I feel like Elementals is a thing that they've really wanted to make work that has not seen, like, any success at all. One thing that I think we'll see a lot more of... are the spell-based decks. Like, they kind of tried to do it with Druid. They did do it with Mage. I think those decks are only going to get better with each set that's released. I just wonder if we'll see more of that kind of stuff, like more things that are very specific, where it's like, okay, you have to play a creatureless deck. Like, this is a very obvious archetype, right? Like, the way that they're, like, the deck that they're trying to get us to build is very straightforward.
Right.
Like, I wonder if we'll see more of that kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, I feel that just for that's the game philosophy, right? Where you design those types of decks for someone who's new to the game and they don't really know how to build a deck. Oh, this card over here says if I'm playing no minions, I get this thing. So then they just never put a minion in their deck. It's easy for them to go through and start looking at it that way. So there are some beginner decks you need to include just for the general populace. But I mean, as the populace of Hearthstone gets older and more veteran players become more veteran, you got to add that wrinkle of nuance.
Right.
Okay. What if they make an all creature deck? No spells in your deck.
So they did something similar like that with Spiteful Summoner, where you ran all minions and then just two 10-drop spells.
Yep. Oh, that is true. But I wonder if they'll do something where it's like extra effects.
Yeah. I like the deck building restrictions. I think that Reno and Zephyrus are like extreme examples where if you go through and you don't have duplicates in your deck, then something happens. But I mean, like MTG did Companions recently, where you get a special card if you meet a specific condition. So I like deck building restrictions and things that are a little bit minor for a little bit less of a payoff. Like if I only am running minions above 3 mana in my deck, I can do this. Or I get like a little effect when I play this. Or I mean, you could go with Gen and Baku, where I'm only playing odd or even cards. I get something that happens. But like, I like those deck building restrictions because that really makes you think about how you're building a deck. And then especially as a wild player, as soon as a card like that is released, you have so much in your backlog of cards, of things that are just like subpar, but you might want to play in a deck. It just becomes incredibly synergistic. Like, Spawn of Shadows was a card that I always like to reference that was a garbage card, but all of a sudden when you have Anduin introduced, it can just pop off and do a ton of damage and things that are underutilized. I like looking at those type of things.
Right. So I'm looking at, I linked you guys the image there. You know, Year of the Phoenix. It feels like to me Year of the Phoenix has been more about kind of the rebirth of Hearthstone in a bit, because we had that roadmap. We have a new game director. We have spent the last year now with basically a new team or a bunch of new members on the team. Like, the old guard of Hearthstone is gone, and this is the new guard of Hearthstone. That's really how I feel Year of the Phoenix is. Like, it's kind of a rebirth. So the first expansion that they released was an Outland expansion with the Demon Hunter and introducing the Demon Hunter. The second image we're looking at here is kind of a
purple blob.
And whenever whenever I see this kind of symbol in Warcraft, I think of Dalaran. But we've already had like a Dalaran themed thing. But it's very magic in nature. So
could it be outer space? Could this be Hearthstone goes to outer space?
I don't know. Well, when I see stuff like this, I think of like dark magic or like poison,
right?
Kind of stuff.
You're not in a bad place there, Danny. It may not be so much outer space, but it could be the Nether, which is a thing.
I don't know. I kind of want to see Dr. Boom build a rocket and actually get to outer space. That would be sick.
Okay. You know what? Okay. What about like when you play, what's that priest card that got rotated that like changes your hero power to 2 damage?
Oh, the, did that get rotated?
Yeah.
Crap. I forgot that.
Shadow form.
Shadow form. Yeah.
That's what this aura reminds me of, is shadow form. Feel like, dude, what if we get something that's like enhances our heroes in some way, or like corrupts them,
like making them death knights?
That's all I was about to say.
No, I mean more like, okay, now you like you play this card and it upgrades your hero power, like a spell or something.
Car?
Yeah, but like not like it, Not like in the sense of like literally upgrade, but like, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it changes it, it modifies it. That'd be cool if you could modify. I like Metamorphosis as a card. It'd be cool if you had other cards like that for other classes. Something where like the legendary spell of Eden is in each class, everything, you get like a super ridiculous hero power for one or two turns and then it goes back. Like, I like Metamorphosis as a card because it's pretty cool design space. So I think that would be really cool if every class got something like that.
Yeah. Or if they did something like your hero like gains 5 health, but it's like now your max health is 35 kind of thing. Like a priest card that like costed like 2 or 3 mana or something that like not only healed you for 5, but increased your maximum life.
HP. That'd be
so
really
cool. What if like they had like a passive card they can put in your deck and it's like has a passive effect that goes off at the beginning of the game like that?
I would actually like to see a Genin Baku type thing that did something that wasn't broken. That would be cool.
I'd be interested in seeing something that there's you said the word passive card and that got some brain juices flowing, JR, where you have a passive kind of like with Valera and Rogue, where you have a card that you can't necessarily play from your hand, but while you have it in your hand, it does things. When you draw the card, it does things.
Okay.
Okay. So like the Blood Broodmother or whatever?
Yeah, kind of like that. Like when you draw the card, it does something and it doesn't do anything otherwise. But when you have this card in your hand, like heal yourself 2 life or deal 2 damage or do something like this. It expires after 5 turns. Something like that.
Oh, that would be cool. Like, or if it was even like a just like an okay statted minion, like a 3-mana 3/3 that every time, like at the beginning of your turn, you heal 2 life or heal 1, like whatever would be balanced. But like, you could also choose to play it in a matchup like a control mirror. Okay, like you don't obviously want to hold those cards, so you just end up curving out with them kind of thing.
Yeah,
that would be cool.
That would be interesting.
I think the set after this though is going to be weapons or dragon based.
I think
or like reborn based.
You're the phoenix though, so it's like a rebirth flame is what that looks.
It's either that or like a stone forge, like a forge.
Or we could go into space in this set. Yeah.
And then this is the sun that explodes. Dr. Boom. Dr. Boom flies too high, flies too close to the sun.
I feel like that one's mech related in a way, or something construct related.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Last mech set, was it Dr. Boom? I mean, that was what, 2 years ago now? Or a year and a half?
Yeah, something like that. That was before Year of the Dragon, which was last year.
It was before Masters Tour Vegas, which I remember Bomb Warrior was the best deck, and that was in June of last year, so
yeah,
it had to have been... It was actually way before that. It was... Yeah, Dr. Boot... Yeah, no, it's been at least a year and a half.
Right. I don't know. Just looking at that makes me think of something construct-related. It's very... you know, there's the boards around it. There's metal spikes. One's missing. And then something with the orange yellowish glow in the middle, right?
Could it be like a forge type thing?
It could be something like that. It could be
reforged, cardstone reforged.
Yeah, could be something along those lines. So yeah, I'm curious what that third set could be. I do feel like the second set is something magic related. Like just looking at that symbol just makes me think of magic. But that's
magic of outer space.
But that's all it tells me, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're literally arguing about or not arguing, but we're discussing the colors of a circle and
right.
How that
right
how that set right.
Yeah. Well, even okay. So even look at this, like it's got the banner and everything. Like it just makes me think of something magical. Whereas the third one, also, like if you look around the border of that one, like there's like vines. So it might be something nature-wise too, like something in nature with construct.
A new wild set. It's no longer wild. You now have like a kind of like you have legacy versus
maybe.
Whatever in Magic, you have the different levels. There's a new wild set, the new like not wild, but new like format on that.
Nah, those are like bolts, dude. Like,
no, look at the rectangle around it though. There's vines around like the rectangle of it. Like, go outside.
I see what you're saying. I don't know. I see the bolts though. Those are like bolts.
No, those are totally like, there's bolts, and then if you go beyond that, there's like vines and.
Okay, what if it's nature mechs?
Nature mechs.
Elemental. Either
way, the next one looks more like a, like, that's like a banner.
Yeah, that looks like you guys are right in the sense that there's something arcane related to it.
Right.
We're just back to spells, baby. Legendary spells.
Are you going to Gul'dan? Or, well, I mean, they have had Mecha Jiraxxus has been doing some stuff in whatever the current promotion is that they're doing. So okay, maybe we're going.
I've got it. Another knight in Karazhan.
Another knight in Karazhan. Let's go, baby. Another one. DJ Khaled's the host. Medivh's—he gets corrupted. He's the bad guy now.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So we've got some things.
Orange is a 4 mana card again, just straight up.
But anyway, once that gets announced, as I said earlier on in the show, we're gonna start doing weekly shows again. I need to start doing weekly shows again. I miss talking to you guys. I just, you know, it's something we need to get back in the routine of.
Definitely.
So, with that said, we do have an email, and I do want to answer this email. I don't want to save it for next week. I want to answer it now. So this email we got from Francisco from Chile, and it says, "Hey guys, long time follower of the show. Last year I became one of your $1 Patreons. I'm F. You guys are the best at covering everything from casual, live stuff, competitive, and wild, which is why I consider Well Met the best Hearthstone podcast by far. Thank you for saying that. Thanks so much for sticking with the show despite the challenging times we're going through worldwide. It means a lot to me. Please keep up the good work and continue inviting such great guests like Dr. J, ETC, Bloodyface, Deck Tech, etc. And spelled ETC, pun intended. I was wondering if, as part of the show, you can include a little analysis of what mid-range looks like at the moment, how it has evolved, what meta decks can be considered mid-range nowadays, both from a wild and standard perspective. Have a great week. P.S. Sorry, Ray, I made you stay longer before you can go poop.
Dude, he knew! How does he know I have to poop? How does he know? How does he know I have to poop right now? Yo, this guy is crazy. He can read minds, dude. He's a genius.
I don't know if Francisco is male or female because of the fact that they said I'm F, which could stand for I'm female, or if that's their name. So I don't know if it's he or she. But speaking of mid-range, Ray, do you have any thoughts about this?
I would say I consider decks like Highlander, Hunter, mid-range. I consider there are some like more mid-rangey warrior decks out there. Like the ones that aren't playing like the full combo are pretty mid-range. Like the Bomb Warrior ones are, that aren't just like playing like the Brawl and the Blade Storm or whatever it's called. Like there are some versions of warrior that I would consider mid-range right now. I don't consider like egg warrior mid-range. I think that's more combo-y. And I think Bomb Warrior is more control-y, like the one that's playing like the Brawls and stuff like that. Demon Hunter, I would say, is aggro. Druid's combo. I would say really only like I consider things like Hunter and some warrior decks are really truly mid-range right now.
I feel like Hunter's always mid-range. Like it just feels like a Hunter thing. Like you either have Face Hunter or you have a mid-range style Hunter.
Yeah, there hasn't really ever been a control Hunter, to be honest. The other deck that I would say is the closest thing to mid-range that we have right now is probably the Cube Priest deck, the one that No Hands Gamer made, that has like Grave Runes and Psychic Split and all the dormant cards. I would say that is actually pretty mid-range as well, but you just don't have like a traditional burst like you do with other mid-range decks. It's a very weird deck, but I would say that one is mid-range.
Yeah, and I feel like mid-range has evolved. Like when I think of old mid-range, I think of Savannah High Main days, right? Where that was like the ultimate mid-range card, where you're dropping it on turn six. It has great value because of its death rattle effect of giving you a couple more dudes when it dies. It's a big enough card that you have to take care of, but there's other things that kind of stick around. And it feels like that's where your power curve happens, is around turn six, turn seven, turn eight. And I feel like mid-range always has kind of felt that way to me. The difference, I think, is the power creep over the years, in my opinion, has changed. Because, like I said, you don't see Savannah High Main anymore. And that was like the ultimate mid-range card. And now it doesn't even make the list.
Nope.
I mean, I'm going to agree with you on that with relation to Wild and take that to the extreme. And I think there's literally only one current mid-range deck that's a meta deck. And that's Q-Block. And Q-Block is a mid-range deck in the sense that the whole thing about Q-Block is cheating things out. So you're using Void Lord and Skull of the Minari to get out big demons, but in the sense that you're running things like Doom Guards to kill your opponent through cheating those out as well. So you're not in the sense that you're going to try to out-control them and out-resource them. You're trying to just get things down on the board. Against aggro, you're more of a control sense. You want to get a Void Lord out and stop them there. But against all control decks, you are playing to beat them down. So I think that's more or less the only mid-range deck that I know of in Wild right now, because I just think that it's so polarized, and more or less in this point, it's just a pure triangle of aggro versus control versus combo, and mid-range is kind of on that same line against combo, or like combo is on that side of the triangle, because, I mean, aggro, I mean, it depends on what strengths and weaknesses between classes and decks, but you're trying to counter one of the archetypes through that. Combo is control gets beat by combo, aggro beats combo, and then control beats aggro. But mid-range can be a fill-in for that combo in certain metas if, like, your control deck is running disruption for specific combo pieces.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just where I think it is. And like you just said, JR, you're not playing six drops in that deck. Your mid-range minion is Void Caller, a four call.
Right.
Like, that's a mid-range minion now. Because it's only a mid-range minion because it cheats things out. Like, that would be too slow in most other decks.
Right. Right. You're trying to get the most... I feel like mid-range is you're trying to get the most value that you can in the middle of the game, where the value that you're getting far exceeds the value that your opponent is getting during that turn. And it's enough to swing the game in your favor. That's what mid-range feels like to me.
Mm.
You disagree, Ray?
No. No, I think I would just like to add that I think mid-range usually in my head is more like playing a curve of minions that are just like slowly creep up in power level. I don't know. Like a hunter is a perfect example, like where you go like,
yeah,
you try to curve out, right? And then like your minions get stronger with each turn, whereas like aggro, you kind of like just flood the board with minions and try to kill them really fast, like a zoo type thing. It's all just small things, whereas like mid-range, it's like exponential growth, kind of.
Yeah, but how different is that from tempo?
I think tempo, when I think of tempo, I guess it kind of is. I think of more like tempo swings, like big swing turns, but no, that's probably similar.
I typically find that tempo is a little bit faster than mid-range with a lot of things, where you're a mid-range, you're trying to play minions down just for value on curve more or less, but tempo has little, I mean, maybe this is just the way that tempo decks are built in Wild nowadays, but you're having little things that add up over time.
Like when I think of tempo, I think of like things that give you like a lot of value in one card, like that have like a cyclone mage.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I think of when I think of tempo. When you're playing, you play like a Sorcerer's Apprentice, a Flame Waker, and then you play a bunch of really cheap spells.
Gotcha.
So it's like a mini combo type thing. Tempo is mini combos that not necessarily you're just going to kill your opponent outright, but you're doing a lot of little things together to gain value. Whereas I think that mid-range more or less is not a bunch of little things. It's one or two big things that you're doing. You're playing a Void Lord. You're playing, I don't know, you're playing some big minion on curve, and then that minion's getting value over time.
So, Ray, based on your definition, would you have considered the OG Secret Paladin deck the ultimate mid-range deck?
Well, I think that's more of a tempo deck because you're cheating things out than a mid-range deck.
And see, this is where I'm getting confused by.
You went Minibot into Muster for Battle into Piloted Shredder into Sludge Belcher into...
Yeah, like, that's a mid-range deck.
Yeah, that's a mid-range deck.
Okay.
Whereas, like, when you're cheating things out, I feel like that's more... Like, that's tempo.
Okay.
Like, when you're cheating things out. Like, if there was a druid that, like, cheated things out, like, I would say, like, pretend, like, Mulch Muncher was different. And there was, like, a Treant deck that actually just, like, cheated things out along the curve. Like, that would be a tempo deck to me.
Okay.
But not where it was, like, a combo. Not, like, a charge, kill them in one turn type thing where it was just, like, you're just putting extra things on the board. Or like the Ender Rubik or whatever, the one that's the 3/5 taunt that comes out for free sometimes. Like if there was a deck that could play like Force of Nature on 3 or on 5 and play like the 3/5 for 0 mana and stuff, like that's a huge tempo turn because you're just like cheating that out. Like you're doing a lot of things, but it's not a combo. So you're not, it's not really like a combo. It's more just like a tempo play.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
That's interesting though. Like how we define those types of decks.
Right.
Think that's something that a lot of people don't really truly understand, like why decks are called certain things, especially when you look back at Hearthstone's past. Like when you say like, oh, Apex Void got known because he was like the tempo mage god. Like most people probably don't even know what that means anymore. Like what is a tempo mage? Like why is it called tempo mage?
Right.
I feel like most people just don't even know those things anymore. Like why is Midrange Hunter called Midrange Hunter? Like why were these decks called these things? I feel like nowadays there's a lot less of that and a lot more just like specific archetypes like Highlander or something.
Right. Yep.
Where it's like you don't actually know that that's a mid-range deck anymore, even though I consider it a mid-range deck.
Right. Like Highlander, Dragon, Hunter.
Exactly.
You could just name that mid-range Hunter right now.
Right.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I learned something from that conversation too, because I think I was... I think I was thinking tempo was more of playing things on curve than what your definition of it was. But it sounds like what I was thinking of was definitely more mid range where you're playing things out on curve 1, 2, 3, 4, but your best turns that you have are gonna be, depending on the deck that you play, could be fourth turn, could be 6 or 7, right? So somewhere in that range. So hopefully, Francisco, that answers your question. And if anybody else wants to email us and have anything that they want to say, you can do that wellmet@blizzpro.com. And we would love to answer them on next week's show. With all of that said, I do think it is time to probably get out of here.
Da-da-na-na-na-na. I can go poop now.
No, you gotta wait. Gotta wait. You still got a couple minutes. Please don't take us in the bathroom with you right now. All right. With all that said, if you'd like to help support the show, there's a couple ways you can do it. One of those is patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. For as little as $1 a month, you can get the show for a little bit earlier than everybody else. You can sometimes get a pre-show and post-show depending on what we're talking about in that pre-show and post-show. There wouldn't be one for this episode, but we have them for some episodes. So just head over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. I know that we haven't been as active lately, but we will be changing that as we've discussed. Other ways that you can help support the show is over on like review sites. You can find us on like Apple Podcasts, iTunes, whatever it's called these days. You can find us over on Google Podcasts, Spotify, all of those things. Just do a search for WellMet Podcast there. If you're listening to us, you found us in some way or fashion. But to help other people find us, you can leave a nice little review for us. And if you do, we'll read out next week's show. Anyway, beyond that, shout outs and how can people get in contact with you, Ray?
Shout outs to everyone who has been supporting me or watching my stream lately or just checking in. I really appreciate that, all of that stuff. I kind of took a little bit of a break the last, like, I've taken a lot of days off the last week, but hopefully I'll get back into the routine of things, doing it again. At one point, we actually reached up to 200 subs, which is pretty crazy.
I'm one of those.
Yes. Yes, you are. Hopefully I can get back to doing it every day. And I definitely think once we get some new content or some changes that shake up the meta, whatever it is, I will definitely be motivated to just like hit the ground running and do that kind of stuff. Because I feel like one of the reasons why I really, really enjoyed streaming so much and was able to just sit there for 8 hours every day and do it was because I just had so much fun playing. But now I have like probably a thousand games of Priest in the meta under my belt at this point, and it's like it just gets kind of monotonous,
yeah,
and boring once nothing really changes. Like, I don't even want to know how many games I've played in this meta of Priest or Warrior. It's probably a disgusting amount. And for whatever reason, I just don't really enjoy the other decks as much, or just like don't have a solid win rate with them. So yeah, hopefully that stuff changes. You can find me on Twitter at PG_Racy and on Twitch at twitch.tv/Racy.
All right.
Yeah.
How about you, Danny?
My shout out this week is to you guys. I'm glad we got the band back together. It's nice to do one of these shows. It was a fun time, and I can't wait to do it again next week.
Awesome.
Battlefy, you're next.
And
as for me, you can always find me on Twitter, Danny.
As for me, you can find me on Twitter at Eldorian. Like I said during the show, I'm using that a little bit less. But that's where you can find me. Beyond that, like, shout outs, I'm going to give a shout out to all of our listeners, especially the ones that had reached out to us and was like, hey, where's the show? Or, hey, you guys haven't talked about this subject. Well, it's because we hadn't done a show yet. Who have reached out to me in private messages and was just checking up on me and making sure I was okay. I appreciate all of that. And so I want to give a shout out to all of you for sticking with us. And hopefully this is the beginning of us getting back into the routine. So
yeah.
So beyond that, thanks for joining us for episode 236 of Walmet. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week over at hearthstone.blisspro.com. You can tweet us at Walmet Podcast or email us at walmetblisspro.com with comments, questions, and ideas that you have for the show. Thanks to Jake Buttonew for our amazing intro music. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
Go ahead. JR, quick. One thing that I just remembered is shout out to Easy Bake. He was actually a member of the community. He's in the Walmet Discord, all that stuff. He top 8ed WSOE, which was actually a really big deal.
Nice.
He ended up losing in top 8 to someone. I know he was going to play Bloody Face or No Hands Gamer if he didn't lose. But he got top 8 either way. So yeah, he's like one of those people that are on the brink of
nice
breaking the barrier into competitive play. So yeah, if you're listening, you're trying to break that barrier, you can do it. I believe in you. Other members of the community are getting it done.
Yeah, awesome. That's a great shout out. And with all of that said, we'll see you next week.